Going to read all of that chapter, so we're going to read verses 1 through 30. It's Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 30, where we read in the name of our Lord. It came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto them, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he is the least in the kingdom of that the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, we do indeed thank you for this, your word. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your willingness to share all with us. And we pray, Father, even now, that you would indeed give us ears to hear. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Yeah, this is your bonus day. You know, most people go to church, they only get a couple verses. You get a whole chapter, you know. So hopefully you're all batting down, because we got a long, no, I'm kidding. This is really partially a lesson in contextuality, is understanding that in the scriptures are contextual. People like to take stuff out of context all the time. And there's an old saying that we use all the time. in seminaries and stuff, a text without context is a pretext. And what that means is you're just making it up. And this is really part of the problem with a lot of preaching. A lot of preaching is just kind of made up. You know, and people like to blame that on God, and God should be excused from that. Because God really didn't have anything to do with that. It's scripture out of context. This is like one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible. It's not something that you hear from a lot of people all the time. Because it's so remarkable in the revelation. And when you come to those final verses that everybody likes, that everybody knows, but they don't really understand the context of. You see, the whole point of this is to understand that John is in prison. And John is a wonderful, godly man. He's a very devout man. And John knows that he's in very difficult circumstances. And John has an idea of what God is supposed to do. Because John is an Old Testament prophet, and he's the last of the Old Testament prophets. And he has an idea of what the Messiah should do. And Jesus isn't doing it. John knows that Jesus is supposed to be the Messiah. But Jesus isn't doing the right kind of thing as far as John is concerned. As far as John is concerned, Jesus should show up and he should take care of Herod and he should get John out of jail and he should show up and he should start killing some Romans because that's what the Messiah is supposed to do. As far as John is concerned, coming out of the Old Testament, that's his way of thinking. This is the way this is supposed to be. God is supposed to show up. He's supposed to vindicate himself. He's supposed to kill all the evil people. He's supposed to do these sort of things. And John says to Jesus, so exactly what is your problem? Are you the one? Are you actually the one? Or are we supposed to look for somebody else? And this is kind of John's way of saying, why don't you get going? You know? Fulfill the plan. Do what you're supposed to do. And Jesus tells John, this is the plan. This is the plan. You see, John is Elijah. You got all these weird people that are looking for stuff. They're looking for Elijah. They ignore what Jesus says. Jesus says John is Elijah. Elijah has already come. The restoration of the spirit of Elijah has already come. But just like Elijah, John was in prison feeling sorry for himself. That's exactly what happened with Elijah. Elijah is figuring he's the only true believer left on the planet. God says to him, Elijah, I got 7,000 other men, he says, not counting the women and children. I got 7,000 more people in Israel that are faithful to me. To understand that this plan that we have for God is never God's plan. That's not the way God is. God has a different plan. And that's what Jesus says. He says, you go and you show this to John. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And he says, and blessed is the one. And this word literally means who is not caused to stumble, not caused to sin in me. See, what Jesus was illustrating is to understand that there was an understanding that people had that came out of the Old Testament, but it was wrong. And we've still got people today that are pushing that agenda, and it's wrong. It's just dead wrong. The fact of the matter is, God did not come into the world to kill people. If he'd have wanted to do that, that would be easy. He could just go, that's it. But he didn't. He came to do exactly what Jesus was doing. He came to bring healing and to bring salvation. He came to bring the gospel, the good news. And it says, so, Jesus then turns and he says, so, all of you religious people, he says, all of you people that show up for the crowds, he says, when you went out there to see John, what did you go to see? He says, a shaky person that's blown around with the wind? He says, did you go to see some sort of like highfalutin celebrity guy? Because that's really what he's talking about. And nowadays that works. You know, all you got to do is be a celebrity and all of a sudden you can attract a big crowd. And that means what you say is somehow sacrosanct. That's what Jesus is saying. Did you go to see somebody that shows up, you know, that's a high court official? He says, honestly, what did you go to see? He says, you went to see a prophet, didn't you? He says, but I'm telling you, he's a lot more than a prophet. He was a lot more than a prophet. Amongst all of those who are born of women, he says, all of the Old Testament prophets, everybody that's talked about in the Old Testament, he says, none of them is greater than John. But then he brings the gospel, and he says, the least person who has entered into the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. You see, John couldn't get this. John couldn't understand the gospel. John was coming out of the Old Testament. He couldn't understand it. Even though he had been appointed by God to do what he did, he couldn't understand what was really going on. He didn't get it. Because John was still under the law. And he still was expecting a Messiah of the law. And that's why Jesus says, from the time of John the Baptizer until now, he says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. He says, and violent people take it by force. They grab it. And what he's talking about is what I want you to realize is this is the way of the law. He says, this is how the law is. He says, and people think that they can get there by seizing this and somehow grabbing hold of it and doing it for themselves. And he says, because all the law and the prophets, all of this testified until John. He says, you were told something very, very different. He says, and if you will receive it, this is Elijah. He says, John is Elijah. And he says, and he was foretold that he would come. And then he says, let the person who has ears listen to what I'm saying. And then he goes on and he says, what am I supposed to liken this group of offspring to? That's what generation means. It has nothing to do with time. If you know biology, you know that just means offspring. He says, what am I supposed to liken this group of offspring to? He says, it's like children sitting in the market and calling to their other children. He says, we piped to you, you didn't dance. So we played music, you don't dance. He says, we turned around and we lamented, we played lamentations for you. He says, and you didn't mourn. He says, John came, he didn't eat, he didn't drink. You know, he was really a good, you know. And I always quote this thing, we don't smoke and we don't chew, we don't go with girls that do, Rudy toot toot, Rudy toot toot, we're the boys from the Institute. So this was like John, you know, they were looking at John and saying, yep, he's a real Christian. He's a real type of this person because he doesn't do any of that stuff. And you say that he has a devil. And then he says, the Son of Man came and he eats and drinks. And you accuse him of being a glutton and a drunk. He says, and not only that, he's a friend of tax farmers, which are the lowest things on the planet, and other sinners. What he's saying is, how do you ever make religious people happy? How do you ever get to that point? Because they don't understand grace. A simple five-letter word, grace. That God is just gracious. He's just kind. And he uses people of every sort in order to fulfill his purpose. So John came and he was an ascetic and he provided what he was to provide and did his thing. Jesus came and he wasn't an ascetic. And he did exactly what his father wanted him to do. And in either case, people condemned both of them. But Jesus says, wisdom is justified by her offspring. He says, it's the fruit of it that demonstrates the reality of these false judgments. They're false. And then he begins to take on the cities that he visited. And he says very clearly of these great cities, Chorazin and Bethsaida. He says, if the works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, he says, in these great cities that were prophesied in the book of Isaiah that they would fall, and they did. He says, if this wonderful message had come to them, he says, they would have repented long ago. He says, they would have shown signs of their repentance. And he says, and I'm telling you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than it is for Chorazin and Bethsaida. And then Jesus says, in Capernaum, you, this great city that thinks that you're so wonderful, which looks at yourself as being the city of heaven, he says, you'll be brought down to Hades, actually the abode of the dead. He says, for if the mighty works which had been done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. Sodom? Jesus just said Sodom? Sodom, to us, is a word that we use to describe about the most despicable circumstance that we can think of. Jesus says, it would be better to be in Sodom, he says, than it would be to be in Capernaum. And this is the point that he's trying to stress. Religion just doesn't cut it. It can't. Because it can't work. The kingdom of God cannot be seized. It cannot be grabbed. It cannot be taken. It's given. It's given. And that's why Jesus says, he prays, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you hid these things from people who think that they know everything. Says you hid these things from people who think they know everything. And you revealed it to babies. You revealed it to babies. And he says, and even so, he says, that's the way you wanted it to be, isn't it? That's the way you wanted it to be. That it wouldn't be sophisticated, it wouldn't be hard, it wouldn't be difficult. That as a matter of fact, it would just be given, and that it would be poured out, and it would be given freely. It would be freely given, and that's the whole point. You see, this is the context. The context is to understand that John the Baptizer, as great a guy as he was, couldn't understand the gospel because the revelation had not been made yet. John was just doing what he was supposed to do, and when it got to a certain point, he couldn't really understand. He couldn't get there, as wonderful as he was. Because the kingdom of heaven cannot be taken. It can't be gained by merit. And as he says, all of the religious people that came, he says they couldn't understand it. They couldn't understand John. He says they couldn't understand me. They don't get this. And he says, in these great cities that I do all these wonderful things in, they don't get it either. Says they just don't get it because it's impossible to be gotten. It can only be given. It's only bestowed. And that's the way God ordained it to be, that it would be just that easy. And that's why Jesus says, all things, everything, has been given to me by my Father. He says, everything that you look at in terms of the creation, in the beginning of all things, in the understanding of God, and the understanding of the world, and the understanding of the universe, in all of these things that you talk about, he says, all of this has been given to me. It's all been given to me. And he says, and no one knows the Son. And he's talking about John. He's talking about all of these other people. He says, no one knows the Son. They can't really understand this. And he says, the only one who knows what I'm up to is the Father. And he says, and people don't know the Father either. He says, they think that they do, but they don't know him either. They just follow a plan of their own making. He says, but the one who does know the Father is the Son. He says, I know my Father. He says, I know my Father. And I know what he wants. And I'm here to do what he wants. And so he says, and the person who the Son reveals the Father to will know the Father. And so he says, these great words that are quoted out of context all the time and should be kept within that context. He says, come unto me. He says, don't go to John. He says, don't go to the law. Don't go to those things. He says, you come unto me. He says, you come to me. He says, all you that are laboring, all you people who try to seize the kingdom of heaven by violence, he says, you come to me. He says, you come to me because you're heavy laden. He says, you're beat up. You're beat up by your religion. Your religion keeps telling you that you can't make it, that you won't make it, that somehow or another, unless you try harder, unless tomorrow you wake up and you vow to be a better person, that somehow or another you aren't going to make it. Your religion just beats the living daylights out of you, Jesus says. It beats you to a pulp. And he says, you leave it behind and you come to me. He says, you come to me because I will give you rest. I'll give you the rest of the gospel. I'll heal your diseases. I'll take away your affliction. I will bless your life. And I will make you whole. And I will make you full. And I will make you complete. I will give you life. And I will give you life that you may have it eternally. I will give you all things. He says, take my yoke upon you. He says, because this is my yoke. He says, and learn of me. He says, learn what I'm really like. Because that's what I'm really like. He says, because I'm your God. I'm your Lord. But he says, I am meek and I'm lowly in heart. He says, I don't come to beat you up. I don't come to destroy you. I don't do that. That's not my nature. My nature is to save you. My nature is to cure you. My nature is to love you. My nature is to show you grace. And I am lowly. I'm lowly. I don't come in this big fancy way or anything like that. I don't come demanding of you. I come to give it to you. He says, and you will find rest for your souls. He says, you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's the gospel. That is the gospel in all of its simplicity and all of its glory. You come. You just come. And what's going to happen when you come? You're going to get a lecture. You know, like when you used to go and get in trouble with your dad, you know, you knew you always had to get the lecture first. You know, dad might let up on you, but you were going to get the lecture first. You come for a lecture? No. No, no lecture. You just come. Jesus says, you just come. And you freely receive everything that I have. Everything that my Father has. He says, I freely give it to you. I just give it to you, that's all. I give it to you. You come to me and I give it to you. He says, and this is how easy it is. It's just that easy. The only people who make this hard on the face of this earth is us in the league with the devil. We go along, we buy into the devil telling us, well, you're not quite good enough. You know, you're not quite going to make it. You know, and things like that. You better turn up the heat. You better get going, or otherwise you're going to find yourself in a world of hurt. You better be more zealous. You better do more of this. You better do more of that. You better get going, because if you don't, you know, you could really wind up in trouble. And it's kind of like, gag me with a spoon. That's the stupidest thing ever. When the devil makes his accusation, we should be like Luther. Luther says, I just agree with him. He's right. You know, yeah, I'm a sinner. He's right. But Luther then says, I'm baptized. I'm baptized. I belong to Jesus Christ. I belong to Jesus Christ. And there's nothing more that the devil can say. Nothing more that he can say. My life is hidden with Jesus Christ. This is what we have to understand going forth into this world. The one thing that we have to get right is the gospel. We've got to have the gospel right. We've got to go to people and simply tell them, I don't care about your circumstance. I don't care what your circumstance is. You just come. That's all. You just come. You come and you freely receive. You freely receive. Because your God will freely give it to you. Because that's how he actually is. He's so in love with this world. As we quote that verse all the time, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God so loves us that he gave us Jesus. And he gave us Jesus freely for one purpose and one purpose only, so that we would come to him, that we would just come to him and come running and come screaming with all of our problems and all of our difficulties, just like a kid that scrapes their knee, that we'd come running with all of our problems and all of our pain and everything else, that we would just come running to Jesus. And it'd be just like on those days when you did that and your mom or dad scooped you up and told you that the world would be okay and, you know, take care of putting whatever they did on your knee. And my mom would always put methylate on there, you know, and she'd tell you it's going to sting, but it'll be okay. And then she'd go, okay, here we go. I'm going to put the methylate on. Now you blow on it with me. You know, we'd sit there. Because the quicker it dries, the less it stings, you know. So then all of a sudden the world was okay. And you had that badge of honor, that orange spot on your knee, you know. That's how God is. We're lying about him so often. We're lying about him. We're saying that he's something else when he isn't. He isn't. He's just gracious. And he's kind. And he simply receives people for Jesus' sake. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all iniquity, and we have peace for eternity. That's what the world needs to hear, and that's all it needs to hear. It's all it needs to hear from us. It doesn't need to hear another word of judgment. It doesn't need to hear another word of condemnation. It needs to be beckoned to and invited and to be told, this is your God. Won't you come? Please come. Please come. And he will receive you forever, because his yoke is light and his burden is easy. And I'm going to throw something else in there, and don't take scripture out of context. It's best just the way it is, always. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, once again we do look to you this day for grace, and we receive it. That's the most amazing thing. We receive it, sinners though we are. We receive grace from you because you are that kind, and you are that merciful, and you are that loving. And Father, we pray that this is the picture, the portrayal that we would be able to give to those around us and to have in our own hearts to realize the immense nature of your kindness and your grace, that we are now found blameless in your sight and we are alive for eternity through the finished work of your Son. We pray, Father, that day in and day out, these words would be treasured in our very own hearts and minds, and we would know the depth of that gospel, and we would bring the same wherever we go. That in all that we say and do, your name would be hallowed and glorified through Jesus Christ, your Son. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of this Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.